It is Free Radio. I'm Adam Wilbourn. Very pleased to be joined tonight by the boys from Years and Years. Hello.
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 Lovely to speak to you guys. Got to say, congratulations. What an incredible year you're having.
Aw, thanks. Yeah. Thanks. It's been mental. It's been pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's understandable, I suppose. I read a bit about the way that you boys first formed together as a band, and it's almost a bit like an X Factor story of... Ollie joining the band after Mikey went to his party, stayed over, and then heard him singing in the shower. Is that right?
That is correct.
That's right. Have you seen the movie Pitch Perfect?
Yes.
It happens in Pitch Perfect.
But in X Factor, they meet on the show. Yeah, but we went on a show.
No, but normally that's what they say, don't they? They go out in front of Simon Cowell and go, oh, yeah, I was singing in the shower, and my mum said, oh, turn that radio off. And then that's what happens.
Oh, yeah. I sound nothing like... I do,
Simon Cowell.
On the radio.
But like I said, it's been an amazing year for you guys. I mean, started off by you being named top of the BBC Sound of 2015 list, which must have been an incredible achievement for you. I mean, you look at the names on that list, like James Bay, which you guys have said you assumed he was going to win it. It's a phenomenal accolade to have.
Yeah, I think we were really... surprised.
We were chuffed that we beat James Bay.
We thought James would win. It was kind of, you know, I think before that happened, people weren't that sure. People probably didn't know who we were. And then afterwards, we were like on, you know, the news. So it really changed everything for us.
And am I right in thinking that when you found out Ollie, you cried a little bit?
Yeah, but I mean, I cry, at the time I was crying quite a lot.
It was really depressed at the time.
I cry less now. but so it wasn't that. Yeah, I did cry a bit. We all cried.
That's fair enough.
No, they didn't cry, but I'm not ashamed.
No,
emotions are good.
Is it you're sort of person who sort of cries at YouTube videos and that sort of thing, then?
Well, I
who cries at YouTube?
I do.
Really?
Sometimes. Do you know what really gets me is sort of like reality? You know, like educating Yorkshire and educating Essex.
Oh yeah.
You know when it's like just. People overcoming obstacles. That makes me cry.
What, like hurdles?
Especially reality TV. No, reality TV shows.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what gets me.
Well, it was a great way to start the year. And then, of course, you know, people will probably know you initially from the song King, which is, I read, one of the top 10 songs of 2015. What is that like when you hear something like that for a band, like you say, who only started out a few years ago?
It's sort of... well, I mean, to be honest with you, we feel really proud.
Mm.
It's an amazing feeling, but it wasn't like, you know, we didn't think it would do that sort of thing. We just sort of thought, when we finished in the studio, we put it on, and I remember us all thinking, oh, this sounds good now, and it should be a single. But then once you put it out into the world, it's a bit like having a child, you know, it makes its own way, and you have to see what happens.
Worried about it.
And in this case, we've got an overachieving child who's probably going to end up...
What does that mean?
Created a monster.
Yeah, we've created a monster. And he's going to make his younger sibling feel inadequate when he comes along, and that's Shine.
Well, I was going to mention, do you feel any pressure as a result of how good that song King has done? That you very much answered
less
that
pressure, because, you know.
Less pressure, because it can't... We just sort of knew it wouldn't
be as
big.
We'll never beat it.
We're never, ever going to be as big a song. So we may as well just give up.
But it has done great things for you. I mean, you know, you just think about, let alone in England. I mean, all across Europe, you are well known now, and people are asking you to tour there and stuff like that. It must be lovely to hear people say stuff like that on your Facebook and Twitter and what have you.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, it's still crazy. I mean, it's so crazy that people know who we are. That, you know, let alone in the UK, but across Europe and across the world, it's just not. I mean, I still can't get used to it. It is amazing.
And I loved seeing your performance a while back on TFI Friday, which must have been a show. I mean, you guys must have grown up watching that, and to be a part of something like that must have been great.
Yeah, it was surreal. It was really surreal, but it ended up being very, very fun. And it was quite a strange day, because as soon as we stepped off the stage at TFI, we had to jump into a car and drive across town to Shepherd's Bush, where we were doing our first of our two shows. And we were sort of in the car, and we looked at each other with, oh, this is quite Spinal Tap.
Yeah. It's very showbiz.
And then we got out of the car, and we ran straight on stage and did the set. And it was a great day. And we met, like, you know, Roger Daltrey and Liam Gallagher, and we saw Blur play live, and it was just great.
What do you say? You know, I would never know how to just start a conversation with someone like that backstage at something like TFI Friday. What did you say to them?
Well, actually, Liam Gallagher came up to us.
He called me a funky chicken.
Yeah, yeah. He asked if I could play bass because their bass player was sick or something.
Wow.
Yeah, so you don't have to always do it yourself. Sometimes they come to you.
And he described you as a funky chicken, Ollie.
He sure did. Wow. Yeah. He knew that I'm a funky chicken.
Ollie just dyed his hair, I think, bleach blonde, so he was looking quite funky.
It was looking a bit yellow, and maybe that contributed to it.
Well, there you go. That can go on the album quotes page. That'll be on there.
Yeah.
And some people might have seen you over the weekend, of course, performing at Glastonbury. You were on the John Peel stage, and the videos that I've seen look absolutely phenomenal. It must have been, you know, a real career highlight to play something like that.
Yeah, it was insane.
It was so fun. It was really special. Just we all, you know, we've been waiting to play Glastonbury. It's our first time any of us have been, and it was a really great atmosphere. Just such a great crowd. And yeah, it was amazing.
And did you get to hang about backstage there, or were you shooting off somewhere else?
Ollie shot off.
I had to leave, but I saw LaRue backstage.
We saw Rio Ferdinand backstage as well.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Mikey and I hung about. We saw Kanye.
Mr. West.
Did
Mr.
you?
Mr. West. Yeah. West.
Yes, we did.
On stage,
yeah. Not backstage.
Yes. Oh,
yeah. I think he came by helicopter and left.
Yeah. He teleported.
Yeah.
But it's one of those experiences, you know, that was your first Glastonbury, wasn't it? So it must be just so surreal, the whole thing. You know, when I've never been, but when I do go, I anticipate, having gone to other festivals, that it's just a rather different experience to anything you'll have experienced before.
It's the scale of it is insane. Mm. I wasn't prepared. I mean, it was almost 200,000 people. I've been told it was bigger than Bristol.
Nuts. Really?
And it took me like half an hour to walk from one bit to the other, so the scale of it is hard to get your head around, and there's just so much that you shouldn't make any plans, just see where Glastonbury takes you.
Sort of makes sense to take a helicopter then, just get around the site. Yeah. Almost
Kanye got it right.
Now we have to talk about this album Communion, which is going to be out next Friday.
Yes.
You must be very excited to showcase this, you know, body of work that you've been making for so long. And I read you've sort of described it as an experience in heartbreak, this album.
Wow, that's quite a
you've done
weird
your research.
A lot of the songs kind of came from the breakdown of a few different relationships. So I guess, but not all of it. Some of it's kind of a bit more positive.
Some of it's hopeful.
Some of it's a little bit hopeful.
Yes, no, I meant that as a sort of theme behind it, not necessarily, oh, everything just is like, oh, God, isn't
really
it horrible
depressing.
Being single?
Yeah.
But it's something a lot of people can relate to, I suppose.
Yeah, well, I think everyone's had some kind of experience where they've had a heartbreak, or they've been dumped or felt rejected in some way. So, you know, I think, yeah, not alone in that respect. And it's just, I think we wanted to make kind of dance music, but that had maybe had some different kind of sides to it as well. It wasn't just one, you know, saying one thing.
Yes. And then is it nice to get it out there, you know, what with, you know, King and Shine being released as singles and other stuff? Is it nice to finally be able to release the whole album now?
Yeah, I mean, it's felt like a long time coming for us. So, yeah, it's just really nice. I can't really believe it, actually, that it's just, it's going to be out there now.
And I love the sound that your guys' music is. It's just, it's sort of almost difficult to pin down exactly, and I don't really like using the terms of music to say what it is, but I think it's such a different sound. And I can't remember if I read somewhere or a friend of mine sort of tipped you for this, but he linked you with doing potentially a James Bond theme, just because the sound is so of the moment.
I would love that.
Well,
that
would
be such a dream.
Best.
Yeah, I can confirm that's happening.
That is definitely how you are the Spectre theme. There we go. We've got an exclusive.
Ollie's going to be the next James Bond.
I'm actually the next James Bond. Yeah,
I'm the villain. Peroxide blonde James Bond. Okay.
Yeah.
Daniel Craig's not far off.
This is the 21st century, guys.
But would you? So you guys would obviously be up for doing a James Bond theme? By
Hell
the
yeah.
Things.
Definitely.
That's on the bucket list.
I'd feel a little bit of pressure on that one. Mm. That'd be stressful.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, they pretty much all sound the same. Come on.
Whoa.
Actually, I've heard that well, there is one guy, I think he's called David Arnold, who's been like in charge of the music for the Bonds since like the 90s. And I think there are some, like, as far as I know, there's like actual rules to a James Bond theme.
Do you have to say the title of the...
No, but even musically, there's like a rule.
So many bars of the tune.
This, and there's a certain, like,
like a key and stuff.
Ah.
That makes it easier then.
Yeah, maybe. So, yeah.
Oh, it's just music by numbers. You'll smash it, guys.
Yes.